Our last of nine fruit of the Spirit, the Bible calls temperance. Temperance. I have a quote, I think I have it up there on the next slide maybe, where it talks about temperance, but I think it says self-control. And Brother Costa helps me with these. I don't know how to do these things. And so, but I got to thinking about even more about that word even. A lot of times when we think of temperance, maybe you've heard this before, and I'm not critiquing anyone or whatever, but I think even since I sent him the notes for this, that I began to think a little bit more about it. I think the statement is fair that self-control is only possible when we are under the Spirit's control. I think the last part of it makes it better. But if you think about it, temperance is a fruit of the Spirit, right? We know that because it says that in the Bible. So really, temperance is at a higher level than self-control, simply because think of the word self-control. Who's in control? Self. Do we really want that? No, we don't. So, in a sense, temperance is even a higher level than that. Now, this isn't something that I came up with. You can see we put quotes around it. But I think maybe a better way to say it is that temperance is only possible when we are under the Spirit's control. Because, quite frankly, I don't want to be under the control of Ben Turner. I want to be under the control of the Holy Spirit of God in my life. As with each of these fruit that we've been going through, I'll say it once again, there is no way that we can produce temperance on our own. It is not, we are not able to manufacture it. It's not something that we can buy at the local store. It can only be produced as we allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in our life. A lack of temperance, I will say this, is the cause of many of our problems in life. Many of them. Now, you notice the one thing about this series, a lot of these, at least lately, and they are related to so many relationships, marriage, child rearing, relationships with the family of God. Really, if you know, to be honest with you, if we could take all of these fruit of the Spirit and somehow apply them and live them out of every day of our life, you know what would happen? There would be no more divorces. Did you hear that? There would be no more divorces. Now, if you're divorced, that's not to criticize you. I'm just saying, if we produced all these fruit of the Spirit in our life, everybody that's, if you're married to the lady beside you right now, or the man beside you right now, you would be married to that individual forever. If we could produce these fruit of the Spirit as God wants us to, if we allow the Holy Spirit to produce them in us. There would never be another church split. Let's just really take that fruit and put it down on the shelf where we all know. And if church is new to you, then don't even listen to what I'm just about to talk about. Amazingly enough, even in a church like this, God forbid that it ever happened. We don't want it to happen. But even in Bible preaching churches like this one, when we don't have the fruit of the Spirit, the pastor doesn't have the fruit of the Spirit, the people don't have the fruit of the Spirit, you know what can happen? Pride can come in, the devil can come in, and he can begin to do a work in the pastor's life, in the people's life, and there can be a split, there can be fighting and amongst people that are going to spend eternity together. If we had the fruit of the Spirit, I can guarantee you there would never be another one. It's that possible, by the way. God has given us and equipped us with all that you need and all that I need to make every relationship work for His honor and glory. Every time I rely on myself to figure something out, I can be assured of one thing: there will be problems. How many times do we try to figure it out? Instead, we should go to the Lord and say, God, I can't figure this out. Would you please help me to make the right decision in whatever it may be? Every time I rely on self-control to solve a relationship struggle, I can be assured that more than likely things will go from bad to worse. reading some of this because I've already lost a lot of my time, but that's okay. We'll make it up. Instead of relying on the Holy Spirit's fruit of temperance, I find myself out of control, overwhelmed because of the pressure and circumstances of life. And let me say this. I'm saying this really right now because these fruit of the Spirit are for Christians. Remember that. If you're here today and you're not saved, you're not on your way to heaven, God wants you to have these fruit. God wants to give you all nine of these fruit of the Spirit, but they're just that. They're fruit of the Spirit. And so there's no way they can be developed in your life without having the Spirit in your life. Okay? But in thinking about this, everybody in this room understands that we are overwhelmed at times. Correct? We don't have to describe what that means. Pressure comes to our life tense moments come in a marriage and in a relationship at work with a boss, if you will. But I'm under the impression once again from God's word that Ben Turner needs to stop trying to figure it all out and let God do his work in my life and help me in solving whatever the difficulty may be. God did not intend for life to be filled with explosions. And I don't mean caused by a hand grenade or those kind of things. I'm talking about within our relationships. And many times in our life, we're basically trying to just clean up from one explosion after another. And we can't even get the first one cleaned up and another one happens. And a lot of it goes back to this fruit of the Spirit. Temperance. Temperance. Quickly, if you will, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 25. I think we're going to read this verse, and some of you have read it probably before, and I believe it will challenge us today, even from Solomon's wisdom. Proverbs chapter 25. Verse number 28. What we're going to do, let's read this verse together out loud, okay? Proverbs 25:28. Ready? Begin. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. If you know anything about, especially the Old Testament, walls were very important to a city. Walls protected the city. Walls were a defense mechanism, if you will. They weren't really offense, they were more defense. But it allowed for offense. And what a great picture we see here from Proverbs that the Bible says, if I have no temperance, if I have no rule over my spirit, in other words, I can go from 0 to 100 in like that. I think everybody understands what I'm talking about, don't we? And we can do that. And by the way, everybody in here has the capacity to do that. It's called the flesh. You may not be as emotional as the next person. Yours might just stay inside. And you can go from 0 to 100 on the inside, and it may not be a volcano until you get to maybe 250 or 300. And then, I mean, it's just, you know, Mount Everest. Look out. The ash goes all from into the neighborhood even. You know, what's going on over there? In all seriousness, if we have no rule over our spirit, our walls are down. And our defense mechanism is no longer there as God would have it be. It is imperative that we have the fruit of temperance and we have the Spirit of God as believers willing to produce this in us. See, temperance allows me to demonstrate something to God. And here it is. Follow this. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. Temperance allows me to demonstrate to God that He is in control. Don't we want God in control of our life? Don't we want God in control of our marriage? Don't we want God in control of our household? Don't we want God in control of the church here? Don't we want God in control of our daily lives? And I mean, you think about it, we have been so blessed of the Lord to live here and to be in this country and to be in this church. But don't we want God to be in control? I know what it's like when I'm in control. I know what it's like, maybe you probably know what it's like when you're in control. And temperance says, God, I'm tired of calling all the making the decisions in this household. I want these to be decisions that you're making through me. That's temperance. It is proof that Jesus is my Lord and my boss. You see, when we ask someone to get saved, we need to make sure that we're explaining to them that, yes, Jesus is our Savior, and yes, hell will no longer be our dwelling place and heaven will be our home, but we have a new boss, if you will. We have a new Lord, if you will. We have someone who we should be allowing to control our lives. This takes temperance, to allow the Spirit to be in control. So let's move along here through the outline. Number one, we have a description of temperance. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3. Proverbs, chapter number 3. A description of temperance. Letter A is the word discretion. Discretion. Knowing when to do the right thing at the right time. Knowing when to do the right thing at the right time. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Oh, think of that word stumble. Sometimes I stumble over words. Sometimes I stumble walking down the road. Sometimes, though, we stumble in life because we've not used discretion. We've not used temperance. We've made a decision. Again, this quote, knowing when to do the right thing at the right time. Turn quickly to Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter 2. Or the end of the Bible. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. Titus chapter 2. A description of temperance. Discretion is one description. Verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. We need some spiritual discretion in our day. That we aren't running off, and I'm not saying we have a problem with this, but that we aren't running off and attaching ourselves to something that is, and I'm not saying new is wrong, but we need some discretion, that we take God's word, we use some temperance, and we don't follow everything that's new necessarily, but that we try it, what, with the word of God, knowing when to do the right thing at the right time. Letter B is the word discipline. Discipline. When I think of discipline, I'm sorry, but this goes back to my childhood, so much surrounding sports and athletics. When I think of discipline, I think of someone who is a professional athlete. Now, unless they're a lineman on a football team, they might have they have a special diet too. Everything. Have you seen some of the linemen on professional football teams? 350 pounds. Imagine how many calories they have to eat to keep their shape. And some of us think, man, I'd like to try that. No, you know, I don't think that would be a good idea. But for many athletes have to be very disciplined. Some have a very strict diet that they have to keep. Some, probably all of them, need to make sure that they're getting the right amount of sleep. And many Olympian athletes especially will dedicate years of their life to one or maybe two Olympic events, like in one and then 4 years later, sometimes three, maybe there's sometimes more, but sometimes it's just two. They're so disciplined that they will say no to the donut. That's a tough one. They will say no to the Me and Ed's pizza. I already failed. We had a great time, by the way, and that was a wonderful time of fellowship. Discipline. Another, it probably should have been the first thing that came to mind, but when I think of discipline, I think of a soldier. The soldier goes to boot camp to become accustomed to being under someone else's strict control. You know, you've heard the preacher say, the teenager who said, I'm tired of these rules, I'm just going to go join the military. You know, I've always thought that's hilarious. And that's not the way it works. Someone's strict control, that is temperance. Think about all the decisions that we make on a daily and weekly basis. Now, I'm not saying you have to have a Bible verse for every decision you make. But I will say this. I believe we make a lot of decisions without temperance. I believe we make a lot of decisions without discretion. I will say that if you, especially if you have young children at home, please use a lot of temperance with regards to the things that you allow them to watch on television. Please use a lot of discretion, Dad and Mom. If you have children at home, please use a lot of discretion and discipline at what you allow them to see on the computer. I'll just say this lovingly as possible. They should not have a computer in their room, especially if it has internet access. Use some discretion. Oh, they're just doing this or they're just doing that. You know what? Those kids that just ran down the hall with all of their joy and their noise and all of that, it's wonderful. The Bible calls them simple. And that's not a negative thing. They're simple. Simple-minded. Sometimes we all need to be a little more simple-minded. Simple-minded meaning this, they're very impressionable. They need a dad and they need a mom. Moms, I'm not a mom, but I had to point at a lady. They need a dad, they need a mom that say, you know what? No, we're not having a computer in our room. What are you listening to? Hey, in our home, over and over again, what are you listening to? What are you doing on the computer? That's with a computer in the living room. What are you doing? You say, oh my goodness. No, that's temperance. That's a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. And even some that aren't left to themselves sometimes. Because they came from me. I'm saying we're all susceptible. Parents, we've got to use more discretion and more discipline. And that's not in a dictatorship form. That's in a form of love. I don't need to go in to tell you who's on the internet today, do I? I don't need to tell you the predators that are on the internet today. They're there, they're real, and they won't find my kid. Oh yeah, they will. Please don't swallow the line of just let them do whatever they want to do. No, that's not temperance. And they don't even understand temperance. So they need you to help them to be temperate. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in how much? All things. What are we striving for as Christians? What are we striving for as children of God? If we want to bring glory to God, if we want to bring honor to His name, if we want His name to be held high because of the way we're living, then we need to follow the writing of Paul here. We need to be temperate in all things. That doesn't mean, by the way, don't think this is a message just for parents with kids at home. Some of you, some of us here spend a lot of time alone with a computer as an adult. Hello? Be careful. This isn't just for the simple ones downstairs. It's for we adults as well. We need to be temperate in all things. If we're trying to be a soldier for God, if we're trying to be an honoring son or an honoring daughter of the King, then Paul said we must be temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection. That by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Discipline is needed. Discretion is needed. These are descriptive words of temperance. The Bible says in relation to fathers in Ephesians 6 and 4, I think you may know this verse. If not, jot it down, but I have it written out for time's sake. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Help our children. A Cambridge professor named Coleridge was once talking to a man who told him that he did not believe in giving little children any religious instruction whatsoever. Listen carefully now. His theory was that the child's mind should not be prejudiced in any direction. And I will say that in my short time of being in the ministry, I have heard parents say this very same thing. I'm not going to teach them anything. They can choose for themselves. Wow. Probably that parent is deceived as well, quite frankly. I can't imagine a Christian saying that. So if that's been uttered by you, then I would say you might want to reconsider. But when he came to years of discretion, he should be permitted to choose religious opinions for himself. Mr. Coleridge said nothing. He just thought about that statement. And after a while, he told this man, "Would you like to come see my garden?" The man said, "Sure. Let's go look at your garden." They went out to the garden, and the only thing that was in the garden was like my garden, weeds. Not really, but weeds. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know that that's probably what you would want to be proud of, that you couldn't grow any fruit or vegetables or flowers, but you only grew those nasty things called weeds. "This is not a garden," the man said. "This is nothing but weeds." Mr. Coleridge said, "Well, you see, I did not wish to infringe upon the liberty of the garden in any way. I was just giving the garden a chance to express itself and choose its own production." A plot of ground left to itself will not, most of the time, there are a few volunteers, as we used to call them, it will not bring forth anything valuable. It will only bring forth stuff that has to be pulled up and burnt or thrown away. What has to happen to that garden? It has to be tilled up. It has to be worked over. It has to be raked. It has to be managed. I remember every day in the summertime, okay, whose turn is it to weed the garden? I was hoping, Astor, that it wasn't my turn. We didn't weed the garden once. We weeded the garden all the time. Temperance. In other words, everybody's garden needs attention. Everybody's children need attention. Hey, everybody's marriage needs attention. Hey, every relationship needs attention. I find it to be the most amazing thing in all the world that we would allow our let's just use that garden. We would allow our garden to be totally and completely overrun with whatever it may be, and then we try to get help. Can I just lovingly say to you, don't let your garden get all overgrown. Don't let your child's heart get all overgrown with weeds. And then when they're 17 years old, wonder how in the world they'd have no desire to be in church. It happens to the best of families. I'm not saying that to be negative or to be discouraging, because it's not discouraging. I'm trying to say, take the time now. Use some temperance over your home. Use some discretion over your heart. Again, this is not just for people in the home. This is for every born-again believer. Discretion, temperance. Quickly, let's look at number two. I'll skip the last little thought here. I'll just give it to you quickly. Temperance is also needed to keep the church going in the proper direction. I don't think that's up there, but just 1 Timothy 4:1-3. And I will say, not that I think it needs to be skipped over, but we need great discretion, discipline, temperance within the local church for it to be what God wants it to be. Number two, a daily dose of temperance. Please turn to, you're in 1 Corinthians 9, right? I think we're still there. Letter A, a disciplined physical life. A disciplined physical life. Look at verse 27. But I keep under my body, and I bring it, what is it? The body, right? I keep the body, I bring it, the body, excuse me, into subjection. So part of temperance is not only, and we're going to come to that, it's not only, you know, the spiritual life. Part of temperance is this temple. Okay? Your physical body. Newsflash, I only get one of these. You only get one of these. And it's not even mine. I should be taking care of this body because it belongs to God. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Number one, underneath letter A, the flesh will constantly fight the spirit. We covered that in Galatians 5:16-17. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. There's a battle going on. Let me go back to that thought, though, of a disciplined physical life. This is something in my adult life that I have had to really work on. And there's been times in my life, and I'll just be very transparent, that I was way overweight. You know what? That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing for anyone. And it wasn't because I had a problem with, and please, I hope, oh boy, I'm really going out on a limb here. I didn't have a problem with my thyroid. That's a problem with a lot of people. And I'm not saying that to be unkind. I'm just saying I had no excuse for the Dickens. And not that a thyroid is an excuse. There's a lot of medical reasons why people gain weight. And me, I don't have any to tell you. You know my problem? Too many donuts. Okay? That's not temperance. I was 235 pounds one time. And I went all the way to 185. I'm not at 185 anymore. I'm going the wrong direction. But I'm just sharing my heart. I need more temperance when it comes to letter A, a disciplined physical life. Because again, this is a temple. This is this body that I have. I want to be able to serve the Lord with the best of my ability to God's glory, but when it's not working very good because I'm not eating properly, whose fault is that? You can say it. It's mine. My am I talking about this on fellowship night? Bad timing, Pastor. Bad timing. Moderation is the way to go, though. We all know this. Nobody here is, it's not a news flash. It's the problem with the second piece. And the third. The fourth. A daily dose of temperance, a disciplined physical life. Number one, the flesh will fight against the spirit. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Number two, the flesh will be defeated through Calvary. Thank God for that. Thank God that the price, the penalty of sin. Today, if you're here and you're without Christ, I want you to, let's turn quickly to Romans 6. Quickly turn over there, Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. How can we reckon ourselves? How can we declare ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin? It's listed right after that. Look what it says in verse 16, or verse 11. But alive unto God, how? Through Jesus Christ. Think of it now. We as God's children, before we became God's child, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And to be made alive, the only way to be made alive was to be saved and regenerated and redeemed, like we talked about, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be saved and our sin debt covered, and our sin is dead. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. What is it that you're allowing to reign in your mortal body that should not be reigning? What should be reigning? It's really a who, right? God should be reigning. Why? Because sin has already been defeated. The penalty has already been paid. I'm talking to Christians. We've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we need to be temperate again in all things. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Let her be a disciplined thought life. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 10, please. 2 Corinthians 10. I'm telling you, this is a big one right here. Big one right here. A disciplined thought life. 2 Corinthians 10. The Bible says in verse 5, casting down. You underline words in your Bible. Those are two pretty powerful words within this verse. Casting down. Overthrowing them. Casting down what? Imaginations. The word imagination comes from the Greek word logimos. Logimos. That really doesn't do much for me, but that is the Greek word, but the meaning sure helps me. Thoughts or fantasies against the truth of Christ or the revealed will of God. Anything that I'm thinking that is against the truth of God's word. Anything that I'm thinking that is against the revealed will of God, Paul says, I need to get rid of it. I need to overthrow it with God's help. I need to cast it. And imagination is something that more than likely is not even real. That's why it's called an imagination. This is not an imagination. I hold before you today the truth of God's word. Truth, God's word. This is truth. This is not an imagination. This is not something that men just sat down and scribbled a bunch of words and we have a Bible today. The holy word of God, men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is God's word. There is nothing imaginative about God's word. And so if you are thinking something today that is against the word of God, it is an imagination and it needs to be tossed. If you are thinking something that is against what the will of God is, we need to toss that thing. Temperate in our thought life. Many times we can discourage ourselves simply by the way we are thinking. The battle for the mind is that a battle. Philippians 4:8. Jot it down. Read it later. At the end of the verse, the Apostle Paul says, think on these things. Pastor Turner, what do we think about then? Philippians 4:8. When you find your mind wandering to something that violates Philippians 4:8, confess it. Seriously. Pause and just say, I can't believe I just thought that. You know, like a family member will never get saved. That's not a thought that God would put in your mind. And the enemy would put that thought in your mind. We don't know who's going to get saved and who's not going to get saved. That's not a very good thing to think about. The Bible says God wants everyone to be saved. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died for all. So if you're thinking that today, don't allow the enemy to gain a foothold in your life. And yes, I understand there are some people that logically, we would want to think that, but we can't even allow that in. Because here's the reason why I believe that. It's because it's not simply about that family member getting saved or not. It's the whole aura of our life. Forgive me for that word, but it's the only thing I think of. And how we live our life, that if it's from one imagination to the next. No, I don't want to live my life one imagination to the next. Here's how I want to live my life. Facts. Truth. And if it's not true, I need to stop thinking about it. And this goes all the way back to that entertainment that we allow into our home. Sorry to pick on that today. Those television programs, those movies, some of those games even, they just put things into our... It's an imagination. And we need to be careful what it's causing us to imagine. Quickly, one more. And this was a longer one, so I'm just going to have to... Go put it into overdrive. But seriously, think about these. Write these down if you're writing notes quickly. How do we develop temperance? Number three, developing temperance. Okay, here they are. Quickly, letter A. Admit your weakness. What is your weakness? Say, do you have all day? No. We have more than one, right? We all do. Sorry, Mario, I wasn't trying to offend you. We all have weaknesses. But sometimes we don't even want to admit that. James 1:14-16. Quickly, turn over there. James 1. Developing temperance. James 1:14. The Bible says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. What is there in your life, what is there in my life that is causing us to be drawn away? Admit it. Number two, letter B, forget your past. Forget your past. I didn't say don't learn from it. There's a possibility there are people here today that the past is still gripping us. Philippians 3:13-14 says, forgetting those things which are behind, Paul said. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, we have three children, and all three of them, when they learned to walk, did not learn to walk one day. It just, boom, they walked. One day they took a half step and boom, down they went. Maybe the next day they might have taken a full step and down they went. Maybe after a few more days, they took a couple steps and banged their knee and got an owie. James has an owie today. Did I call it a boo-boo? I called him boo-boos. He called it an owie on his hand. Everybody here has seen a kid learn to walk. They have a lot of owies when they're learning to walk. You got to have everything padded in your house. You know, one thing I know of, though, they have a very short memory. They just fell the day before. Bang their noggin. Got a boo-boo. Wanted a Band-Aid. You know what? They got up. The next day, they forgot about it. They might have felt the pain a little bit. You know what they did? They tried to walk again. Some of us need to today just get up and let God help you walk again. Forget the past. Letter C. Believe God can bring change. Believe God can bring change. Pastor Turner, I'm not temperate in all things. Do you believe God can bring change? It's going to be necessary to develop temperance. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your, there it is again, mind. God can do anything. God can do anything but fail. I think God wants to create in all of us temperance. Believe God can. You've heard it said, my beliefs will determine my behavior. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can be temperate through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Letter D. We're going through these quickly. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Find Psalms and go to the right, two books, I think. Chapter 4. I remember someone preaching a message from this verse. I don't remember when it was. I wish that I would have wrote a note in my Bible, but I remember it. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. Don't be living your life on an island. It's already up there. What does it say? Be accountable. Be accountable. Love what the verse says. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I'm going to be exemplifying temperance. There's a good chance that I'm going to need to admit that I need somebody to be accountable to. Can't really say I'm just about some things, but I just have to let them go because too personal. Sometimes there are things I counsel about, but it's amazing what accountability would do to help us. Just one person that we call and say, you know what? Here's the problem. Let's say Brother Dickens feels that he has nobody he can call. This is just strictly off the cuff. When you sit down here this close, you're going to be an illustration eventually. Don't sit. You can sit down here every week. Trying to say something. Okay, he feels that there's nobody he can talk to about this problem in his life. You think that's going to help him to be more or less temperate? Less. The problem is, and I'm not saying this about Dickens, okay, Brother Dickens. Saying this in general, but you're right. Problem is sometimes he or I, we have a lot of pride. Both of us do. And we don't want Brother Andrew to know that we struggle with fill in the blank. And so we just, I'm just going to deal with this on my own. someone here. I'm not talking about the pastor right now. But if you're struggling with something today, I'm talking about a sin right now. In case you missed that, I'm talking about a sin. Then be willing to go to someone and say, I need help. This is something I struggle with. Would you be my accountability partner? Look, that's not weakness. That's strength. Look what the verse says. Two will help you withstand. And then if you get a third cord in there, hard to break three cords, isn't it? Be accountable. Be accountable. A lot more could be said about that. Letter E. Letter E, avoid temptation. Avoid temptation. The flesh will want to take the path that has little to no resistance. I found this quote. It said the author of it was unknown. I can't wait someday to meet Mr. Unknown. Have you ever read different books or things and there's a quote there and it says unknown? Try to figure out who that is. Anyway, I thought it was a good quote by Mr. Unknown. Here's what it said. When you flee temptations, be sure you don't leave a forwarding address. Another one by Mr. Unknown. If we don't want rotten apples, stay out of the devil's orchard. Again, how is it that we all of a sudden discover we're in the midst of this mess? We're in the midst of this mess because we went the way of least resistance, which is what the flesh wants. Avoid places and people that draw you into temptation. 1 Corinthians 15:33. In that verse, it uses the word communications. And the word communications in that verse means equals companionship. I believe it says evil communications corrupt good manners. So evil companionship. I found this about this verse. Bad company corrupts good character. Avoid temptation. And letter F. Depend on God's power. Depend on God's power. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Bible says in Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. As we close this message, but also close all of this series, by the way, the series is entitled A New Way to Walk. Because prior to these fruit of the Spirit, it talks about the old way of walking, which is in the flesh. A new way to walk. In the Spirit, in these attributes, these nine fruits. The key, as with all of these fruits, is walking in the Spirit. Self-control is actually Christ's control. The sinner's dilemma, we're either going to number one, continue as we are, struggling with little or no success. Number two, we will surrender to the only person in this universe who can save you and free you from sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Today, if you're not saved, I'm reading just because I'm trying to finish here. I invite you to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Then we have, lastly, the Christian's resolve. Christ's control instead of out of control. Isn't it amazing how quickly we can get out of control? Number one, it also begins with surrender. Surrendering two things. Number one, my will. What are the choices that you and I make every day that we're struggling with? Surrender them to the same person that saved you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrendering not only my will, but also myself, which means denying what I might want. The Christian's resolve, surrender. Number two, it continues with a holy resolve that Christ be in complete control of my life day after day after day. What this world needs to see is a group of temperate men, temperate women. Day after day, God, I'm yours today. My life, Lord, is yours to control. Take my life. Let it be consecrated.